oftentimes we think we're getting kids a good cognitive demand, but we're actually giving them cognitive loads.
Good morning. Welcome to Tier 1 Interventions with Jonalee Zupancic and Sherry Dadder.
Hey, Jonalee Zupancic here, Jay-Z in the house today. And Tier 1 Interventions is really about strengthening our core in schools. If you think about your body, our overall health really depends on our core and our core strength. So in schools, our core is our Tier 1 general classroom. General ed teacher with intervention specialist or other support personnel in the classroom, an inclusive model serving all kids at the same time. So Tier 1 Interventions is about the instructional strategies that are going to enhance and maximize learning for all students, regardless of ability or disability. Tier 1 needs to be strong enough to make certain that all ability levels of students get their needs met. And I know this can seem really overwhelming for the general classroom teacher. However, Tier 1 Interventions is all about what are those techniques. Those techniques have to do with the student body, brain, and emotion. And how do we get all three of those things ready to learn the content? In Tier 1 general classroom, of course, I'm your math girl, but it doesn't matter what the content, what the subject is. In Tier 1 classroom, the same techniques apply for all content areas, all subject areas. Without a strong Tier 1 foundation, we tend to overload Tier 2 small group and Tier 3 intensive one-on-one intervention to the point where schools and districts don't have the personnel to serve all of these students. So when we're getting these kids ready for learning and being able to do that in an inclusive, least restrictive environment, Tier 1, there are certain instructional strategies that we need to focus on. If you're a general classroom teacher, administrator, support specialist, occupational therapist, speech therapist, intervention specialist, instructional coach, whatever your role is in your school or district, I want you to think and evaluate in your mind the strength of your Tier 1. Now, how do we do this? There are certain components in Tier 1, meaning how visual is the content? How much do we adapt to student visualization? How do we embed conceptual, cognitive, stimulating, multisensory approaches to our content? How is our content leveled and adaptive? What connections and associations are we making and supporting students to make? And we might be thinking, how do we do this in a classroom with 36 students and not overload the facilitators, the instructors, the teachers in the room? And that is where we have this gap, and this gap can be filled with our strategies on Tier 1 interventions. Before we get into the mathematics of this, I want to talk about getting the brain ready for learning. And I want to compare two phrases, cognitive load and cognitive demand. Cognitive load is much more of a negative aspect. Cognitive demand is the sweet spot. All of us have different tolerances for cognitive load. Cognitive load are stimulus that are coming in, things that are happening around us that we can't handle, and our brains begin to disconnect, malfunction, set apart. And this is where many times frustration and behaviors arise with students when they have too great of a cognitive load. At times, our instruction for students triggers cognitive load when we think we're trying to reach cognitive demand. Cognitive demand, on the other hand, is all about getting students in the zone. So even our students with ADHD or processing issues or focus issues, if we can stimulate and instruct and facilitate using all those components I mentioned, conceptual, visual, multisensory, if we can use all of these techniques in the right way to stimulate a good, just right cognitive demand for students, their brains and bodies and emotions get in the zone. Just like if you're an athlete and you're in the zone and time passes and you don't even realize how much time has passed and you're able to perform at the optimal level of your sport. Same thing in the classroom. If I can facilitate so that kids are at their just right cognitive demand level, that's when ultimate learning occurs. Now, I'm not saying that this is easy. There are simple strategies, but teaching is very complex. And tier one interventions is about breaking down that complexity for us facilitators, implementing in an easy way, however, becoming more savvy and artful with our teaching. If we get kids into that sweet spot, that cognitive demand, not only are we going to maximize learning, but we're going to help support students attend, focus, get them motivated. We're going to help students understand how to use their stamina to stay on task for longer periods of time. And we're going to enhance their independence and perseverance of tasks. Oftentimes, we think we're getting kids a good cognitive demand, but we're actually giving them cognitive load. So if you notice your students are out of focus or not attending, or you notice your students' behaviors are starting to turn negative, yes, there are a lot of factors that go into that. One of the major factors is the facilitation or lack of good technique by the instructor. So what do we do to get kids into this good cognitive demand? I do have to back up and say research has continued to show that the number one factor in student achievement is the quality of the teacher. So think about yourself. And for the last 20 years, I've videotaped and audiotaped and analyzed myself and my own teaching so that I can continue to be a better instructional facilitator tomorrow than I was today using these components that I keep mentioning. So this difference between cognitive load and cognitive demand is at times very subtle. However, what we're going to teach on these sessions is how to get that sweet spot, how to get that just right cognitive demand. A lot of people call it the Goldilocks principle. So Goldilocks and the three bears, and you got the three bears and the soup that's too hot, the soup that's too cold, the soup that's just right. So the Goldilocks principle is how do we get our instructional facilitation just right at a just right level for students so that their brains are absolutely ready to intake the learning. There are no barriers to learning. And we can do that with one lesson with 36 kids in one classroom. Cognitive load, cognitive demand. Sherry, you are our neuroscience brain-based expert. Talk to us a little bit about how what we do impacts the brain and learning, if you could please.
Sure. I've been thinking a lot about this as you've been talking, and you're talking about the flow cycle. So the flow cycle was developed by a psychologist several years back. He's been gone a couple of years, and I'm probably going to butcher his name. It's Mihai Csikszentmihalyi.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. It's one I've been having to practice for a long time to get that one out. Anyway, he realized that there were four steps to creating productivity. These four steps, our body goes through them on a continuous basis. And what John Lee is talking about is that spot called flow. That's when cognitive demand is essentially at its peak. And so when we're looking at struggle is when we're getting the information in. And it might sound a little bit weird as far as the title goes. When I think about struggle, I think about concentrating on getting the notes down on paper, getting the concept in my brain. Release must happen next. And that's why recess and these triggers that and these activities that I share all the time are so important, because there needs to be a break between the taking in of the material and the putting out of the material. And so what we do during release is we have to have physical exercise. It can be as short as 30 seconds. It can be as long as several hours. While that is happening, the brain is taking that new information that you've been thinking about. It's pairing it with this information that we've already had in our brain. It's integrating them together so that when you get to the point of re-engaging with the material again, you're in a state where you can really come through and think about all kinds of different things that are related to the same topic, but you didn't know. And that's why asking getting kids to ask questions is so essential, because that helps that brain and that flow process occur. And that will only last 20 minutes. Then our brains use up all the fuel that's up here, and we need to refuel it again. And recovery is multidimensional, multisensory, multidimensional. It's not just going back out and having physical exercise. It's also hydration, nutrition, interaction with the community. So this is a part with release and recovery. Having communication is really helpful and beneficial to the whole processing thing, even if they talk about something totally not part of the topic. So think about that when you're thinking about what you're doing with the kids. If you're even doing a 40-minute lesson with them, their brain went into cognitive load about 20 minutes in.
As we are thinking about this flow cycle, I want to pinpoint struggle for a moment. I had mentioned frustration earlier, so cognitive load really triggering frustration. There's a difference between frustration and struggle, subtle differences between frustration and struggle. And the differences are the same differences in cognitive load, cognitive demand. Cognitive load is going to cause a negative frustration. However, good facilitation, inspiring cognitive demand is going to trigger good struggle. In education, we have this phrase that's been coined very recently called productive struggle. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Productive struggle, if you're in education, you know that this is what is going to trigger kids into a good, just right cognitive demand. Depth of knowledge is another educational phrase where we know that we can have deep learning happen through a good, just right cognitive demand. All these phrases in education that have been coined, they all relate back to what this science says is the flow state. Sanchikmihai, you did it better than I did, Sherry, is called the godfather of flow. Stephen Kotler, and just giving a shout out to Stephen Kotler, he has a podcast, his team, he's written a number of books. One of his books is called The Art of Impossible. He is, if Mihai is the godfather, the grandfather of flow, Stephen Kotler is the father of flow, and then a great friend and coach and mentor of mine, of Sherry's, Carrie Oberbrunner, has taken flow into another direction as far as business, personal, relationships, entrepreneur, and has extended it to how in our daily lives, our professional lives and our personal lives as adults, can we become more productive and eliminate or at least barrier some of the distractions that come in, sort them out, and get into this flow state and go through this cycle. So tier one instruction, maximizing tier one instruction is absolutely essential. I want to give you three takeaways, and we just talked about this, Teresa, we just talked about this right before we came on live here in the recording. There are three specific examples of instructional facilitation strategies that if you leave with nothing else today, these are three things that I do as a teacher, as a facilitator, that is going to bring kids into a good productive struggle, cognitive demand, and that sweet spot. They're the same in one lesson for all 26, 34 students that I have in the classroom. And they are content that I am sharing with students. I'm going to ask these questions. What do you see? What do you notice? And I'm going to use my favorite three words, tell me about. So in tier one instruction, in the core classroom, we want to frequently and repetitively be using those questions and prompts. What those questions and prompts do is trigger perspective for the student, and the student's brain cognitively will adjust. In education, we call it differentiate. Naturally, it'll differentiate the levels for each individual student without me producing seven or eight different lessons. What do you see? What do you notice? And tell me about should be tools in our toolbox that we're using multiple times a day, multiple times a lesson to gain student perspective. And then I can be responsive in my teaching, take student perspective, and use that to instruct my content. That's going to engage students and focus students. It's going to tell them, you belong. I care what you think. And I mentioned this before. I'm going to mention Daniel Pink again and Drive, what motivates humans. I want to know that I belong. I want to know that my thoughts matter. I want to know that my perspective matters. So we can engage in all of those emotions and increase the cognitive demand and get students to that sweet spot with those three prompts. I get this question all the time. We get this question all the time. Are your strategies research-based? That's a big topic. How do I know that this is going to work? What's it grounded in? And my answer to that is absolutely yes. Everything we're teaching for this core general classroom is research-based. Now, we have to define what research-based means, and then I've just given you all of the examples of it. Research-based is the work that we do, is it grounded in the mighty hands of giants that have come before us? And what that means is the research and the work that others have done, how has that then impacted or affected the parallels in the strategies that we teach? So research-based is about looking at these influencers, many names that I've just mentioned. I'm going to mention one other book, Make It Stick. Make It Stick. Make It Stick is a number of researched strategies for cognitive science. And all of the strategies that Sherry and I are teaching are supported through the strategies that at the university level are taught in the book Make It Stick and in other places about how to trigger and stimulate good, just right cognitive demand. So absolutely yes, positively. And that is why I wanted to mention so many names this morning and references to what this work looks like. And as we move into specifically the math work, I'm going to be referring to each of these strategies that are based on cognitive demand and everything we've talked about. No, I always say to teachers when they come to trainings, I always say there's so much user error, so much user error. And even us as adults need interactions over time. You need the same training with a different twist over time. Not hesitate on action. Action is hindered by perfection. Don't wait till you have it all figured out to go implement. Go implement wrong. I encourage you, take action, go implement wrong, and then next time just do it better. But do not let perfection hinder your action and implementation.
I got to see the slide deck before everybody else. And I'm sitting here going, ooh. But then again, I'm not the math teacher, and I've got to give it that. I thought I understood math. Until I met Charlie.
Bingo. You guys, none of us do. I have a bachelor's degree in mathematics, in pure mathematics. I was not going to be a teacher. Then I started teaching. I'm certified secondary, started teaching eighth grade. And it was in that first year of teaching that I connect with what Sherry just said. I was good at math. I knew math. And man, I got stomped on. My first year of teaching, I taught these beautiful lessons and my kids weren't getting it and I couldn't help them. What I found out very rudely and cruelly is I did not know math and I have a bachelor's degree in mathematics. None of us, even us adults that did well at math in school, listen to me, you were a bright kid. You only achieved because you worked hard and you mimicked. No one asked you to think deeply. And so you're missing so many understandings of mathematics. We are all a product of our system, our tier one core system. And that system has proven to be broken time and time again. Because us as math teachers, as secondary math teachers, we do not understand the math well enough to help our students understand it at a deep level. We don't. And I can prove it to you time and time again with example after example. And I don't mean to be a downer at the end of this training, but what I'm saying is we need to fix it through tier one interventions, through our collaborations and connections to our therapists and our support staff. And you will only get these interventions that are game changing, that truly work, that are the next generation of math achievement that we've never seen before. You will only get them here with Tier 1 interventions.